to another episode of Kane Collects. Took a little 2-week hiatus there, a 2-week break at spring break for the kids, and took some time off from the podcast, but I'm back now. And as always, you know where to find the podcast: Odyssey, Google Play, Amazon, you know, Apple, wherever you get your podcast, download it, please. KHANG Collects. I'm also on YouTube, same name, Kane Collects. Instagram, same name, Kane Collects. So follow my journey collecting. And if you have listened to a few episodes by now, you can always go back and listen to any past episodes as well. But you guys already know that if you can collect it, I'll talk about it. I've done a bunch of episodes, a bunch of different things you can collect. This will be the first of quite a few, I think, of my vinyl episodes. And I'm going to start off with Roberto Beauchesne. You may know the name from the Valeni with Rico show on 97.1 The Ticket. He's an avid music lover, avid vinyl collector. And we're, like I said, we're going to talk about vinyls and records. Roberto, thanks for joining me.
Hey, what's going on? Finally, I get to make it on the big show.
We see each other every day. We talked about crossing streams one day, and we did it.
Well, on Zoom this time.
Yeah. So before I get to it, though, I mentioned my YouTube channel. Subscribe to that at Kane Collects. But Roberto, you started a YouTube channel too, and it's about music and vinyl and things like that, right? What's that? What's that channel so people can look it up and subscribe?
Yeah, it's just my name, Roberto Beauchesne. If you search YouTube, or you can even search Roberto Vinyl, and it'll come up there, and you can subscribe. And yeah, I've done 4 or 5 videos now, and just about really vinyl collect, not just vinyl collecting. I mean, I collect anything music related. So it's CDs, cassettes, 8-tracks, reel to reel tape. I mean, I have a jukebox. I mean, anything you can imagine music wise. So I'm just taking this, the YouTube page is pretty much taking you on a journey of kind of rebuilding my collection, because I decided to sell a lot of my collection in the past 2 or 3 years. And I just got the itch again, of course. Like most collectors on this show are probably going to say that they got the itch again, and I'm back buying the same things that I sold, but in a little bit of a different way.
Yep. And so, yeah, let's just get into it. So your start and your love of music, I mean, I assume it started like at a real young age, like most of us, maybe high school. I don't know, maybe it was middle school or elementary school for you, but how did it start, and what kind of genre were you into in the beginning?
Yeah, for the deep dive, actually, I just put it out this morning on my YouTube channel. There's a new episode called Records That I Discovered in My Childhood. So I talked about all albums I still own to this day, but were all albums that I discovered pre-teen. Okay, so this was, 80s and, really, really early 90s. But I had an older brother, and he always had, he was into hard rock, heavy metal music, so that was always around the house. But then, I gravitated to what my parents listened to, which was just pop stuff or disco or whatever the hell.
Power ballads, any power ballads?
That was of the time, right? So, yeah, one of my guilty pleasures is like those arena rock power 80s ballads. I got a ton of those records. And
what's the one where they call it rock on the boat rock or whatever? What is it?
Yacht rock.
Yacht rock. Yeah. That's
Oh yeah, I got Michael McDonald, Hall & Oates, Steely Dan. Those are
nice. But also, I know you, because you kind of you grew up in like the kind of same era as me. I mean, hip hop started getting pretty big too, and gangster rap and all stuff. Were you into that as well?
Yeah, and that same my YouTube video I just put up to. One of the albums I said I can remember even at the age of 9 was Straight Outta Compton. My brother had the cassette, and we, later on had the CD, and that was huge for me. I mean, I was a kid in 5th grade with the LA Kings hat on.
Crazy. Great. A white kid.
but I think that's really where that started for me was NWA. Then it went on to, I don't know. Then I was just a lot of whatever was popular, really. But then, once Death Row came along, and that changed everything for me. And then that,
So when growing up and you're listening to music and you bought cassette tapes and even cassette singles, if anyone can remember those, and CDs, did you keep them, or was this something you were just listening to and enjoying? Did you realize at that moment, hey, I want to, these are collectibles, or you were just enjoying the music and sound?
Never, ever thought about anything being collectible or ever worth money or anything like that. And I'm saying that because I'm an idiot. I mean, everything that I have in my record room right now, I mean, I'm looking at, maybe 500 CDs and 1,000 vinyls or whatever. It's all stuff that I rebought. It's all stuff that I, maybe had as a kid and for whatever reason got thrown away, or anytime I moved, when I moved out of the house, went like that. And You know, same thing with, you know, whether it was sports cards or comic books or anything, you know what I mean? You just, you don't really think, and your parents give you a hard time because it takes up so much room in the house. They can't wait to like sell it in the garage sale or whatever. So
yeah, just like they throw it away when you're not looking or something like that. It's like, and then like when you're growing up, like you and me, and I talk to people that collect all the stuff that you just mentioned, cards, you know, shoes, whatever, you know, CDs, music, you end up kind of, cause you do what's popular and you have fun and you enjoy it, but then you kind of like, you get a driver's license, you get into girls, you kind of move on from certain things and you forget about it, you know? And then, like you said, now you're rebuilding your collection because you end up at some point falling back in love with it again, or you just have a job that you can actually pay for stuff. Cause back then, I mean, we're like trying to get gas money and, you know, just try to get anything to have fun on the weekends. But, you know,
yeah, I, you know, I worked in a record store at the age of 12. That's how much I loved music and wanted to, you know, I would spend all my pay, would go right back to the stores I was working at. And, you know, so that's how I, because money, who as a kid had any money to buy anything?
You know? Exactly. I mean, so did you get like discounts and stuff like that too? I mean, you probably learned a lot about music too, just being in a record shop and things like
that. Yeah, I mean, it was just such a different time then. I mean, you know, at that point in the 90s, vinyl records were out, done. You know what I mean? You couldn't give them away. A record in my collection now that could be worth $500, I could have got for 50 cents in 1995, okay?
Crazy.
It was over. And the way that you discovered music was really different. There was no YouTube. There was no internet. There was no, you know, if a customer came in and they wanted to order a CD or try to find an artist, we would have this big book that was like three times the size of a phone book. And you'd have to go and try to search by the song. Well, I think the song name is I Love You This or That. And you would do your best to find it, but there was no internet yet.
That's crazy. Like the journey, the struggle was real back then. It's like word of mouth. And like you mentioned, you had to depend on like older brothers. And if your parents, you know, if they liked music, you actually kind of liked. Otherwise, yeah, you were going to be like, I'm not listening to Michael Bolton. So I got to find somebody who, you know, got to find word of mouth or whatever.
It was different, too, because, you know, nowadays you order something on Amazon and it's on your doorstep, you know, 2 hours or whatnot. You know what I mean? But back then, if you, you know, there were things called like import CDs where you could only get a CD that you wanted from Japan. We would have to order at the record store. You would way forget that you ever ordered it. It would take so long for it to come into the store. It'd take like 6 months. It would come in and you'd be like, oh my God, I forgot I even, you know, ordered that.
It's crazy. You're right, because vinyls now, originals are worth so much money. And even like the re-releases cost more money than they probably should. And you couldn't give them away back then. And everything was transitioning from, you know, cassettes to CDs, right? And CDs were the next thing. And that's what you want. But now we reverted back to vinyl. And so when you look at that, why do you think that happened? Do you think it's a sound quality thing? Do you think it's just a reminiscing thing? Do you think it's just a cool thing to do? Like, why is vinyl? It's not, obviously, this isn't a recent thing, but why did everyone revert back to the records?
I don't know. I mean, one part of me thinks that, you know, how can you not like it better? I mean, the artwork is big, you get all the liner notes, you get the lyrics, and people don't buy, say, CDs anymore. So it's either you buy the vinyl record if you want all that stuff, or you stream it on Spotify and you don't get any of that information or any of that cool artwork or anything like that. But in I don't know if anyone has the same case as me, but my thing, it all started as reminiscing. It all started as I just want a crappy turntable. This was 2013. I bought a crappy turntable and started buying like dollar records or $5 records, whatever. And I thought that records were meant to be shitty. I thought they were meant to have pops and crackles and scratchy and distorted and the needles, you know. But the more I started reading and the more homework I did and the more due diligence I did, the guys that were saying, no, you don't understand. Vinyl record is the highest quality of sound. You were being dealt a bill, you know, of lies by the people that said that CDs are the best and they last forever and they'll never not play. And that's the best thing. And so the more homework I did, and, you know, vinyl collecting is just like any other hobby, whether it's, you know, let's say you're into wine or you're into cigars. Okay. There's a price point for everybody. Okay. So if you, you know, you're a fan of Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. Okay, if you can go to the record store now and you can probably find a one that was pressed in the 70s and might be pretty beat up, but you could probably get it for $5, right? And then there's like a medium level. You know, now they just put out like a 50th anniversary release. You know, you can get that at Walmart, Target. That's where I got mine. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, maybe that's like $35. And then there's like these high end, more high end pressings where you know, they go now 100, 200, 300, 400. I mean, just depending on the sound quality and the equipment you have, you can really get pretty much really one step. There's actually a company that is called, there's a version of a record you can buy called One Step, which means that's really as close as you can get to the master tape. I mean, you're one listen away from the master tape on vinyl. So the sound quality, yeah, if you invest the right money, it's unbelievable. I mean, it causes goosebumps on my arm. You know, some of these, when you listen to it, you just go, how is that possible that it sounds that good? You know,
so since the sound quality is so much better on the high end stuff, our high end, you know, record stuff, do you think that cassettes or CDs will ever make, you know, the kind of like, you know, the run that vinyl has gone on? Like, will people revert back to that ever? Or is it just, it can't?
They already have. I mean, there was like I said, in, you know, 2013, 14, 15, whatever, when I started getting into vinyl, I would go to this antique shop that had a lot of cool vinyl stuff. And the guy had tons of CDs. I mean, anything you can imagine on CD. Everything at that point was a dollar because no one cares. CD, who cares about CDs? It's junk.
Yeah.
It's in an antique mall. It's junk. Nobody wants this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I grabbed, thank God, not as much as I should have. If I could just go back in a time machine, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Every collector knows that if you could go back, you know what I mean? You have nightmares about it. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, but that's happening too, where CDs now at my local record shop here, that same CD 10 years ago that sold barely for a dollar is now $8, $10, $11. And cassettes too. Cassettes are making a big comeback.
Isn't Eminem a huge cassette collector?
Yeah, he's got like a huge hip hop collection of all like sealed, original, the most like classic hip hop stuff. It's awesome. And I try to, you know, I have a little bit of stuff, some rare stuff, but you know, and the other thing I didn't realize, you know, when you're a kid, you don't realize you take a cassette, you throw it in your car, or you throw it in some crappy tape player you have at home. Of course, it's going to sound awful, just like I was talking about with the records. Mm-hmm. But the guys, you know, if you were, when we were kids, if you were an adult and you made a decent amount of money, you made a good living, you could buy these high end cassette decks, and you knew how to take care of it, and you knew how to clean them and demagnetize them and do all this stuff to make sure that they sounded very, very, very good. And that's what I've discovered in the past few years. Cassettes don't sound bad. The right ones sound just as good as vinyl and better than CDs.
Really? Wow. Okay. That's interesting. I did not know that. So as you go back and start like recollecting and getting on, you know, because you sold, you said, and unfortunately now you're trying to get your collection back to where it was or even better. Have you gone down, just where have you been buying more of lately, I guess? Well, where are you taking, where's your attention?
So yeah, when I got really into collecting, my thing was always, you know, if I would go to the record store or Walmart or Target or whatever, and I would say, why would anybody buy a new version of this record? It doesn't make sense. Why would somebody buy, you know? And then the more reading I did, you find out, and I've learned to just, you know, listen, you got to have fun with these things. You can't take it too seriously. But in a lot of cases, these vinyls that you buy, reissues that you buy today in your local record store, brand new, come from a digital file. Okay. So but not saying that's a bad thing. They get the master tape. They do get that original tape that, you know, album was made on. But those tapes are degraded, you know, they're very old, and if you get that one good play out of it, you got to just stop because you could break it, you know. Literally. So what you'll do now, if you get one cut of that tape to a really, really super, super high end digital file, you've got that. And that's what they're making a lot of these records from now. And I was against that because I wanted to be all analog. I didn't want any digital involved. Yeah. But now that I'm buying a lot of, I'm only buying reissues now, and the sound is fantastic. I mean, I'll admit I was wrong in that. And what's better than having, like, you know, to buy a record that's still in the shrink wrap and it's all the corners are nice and tight and everything, so brand new and pristine looking, and you're the first one to open it and put it on the turntable. That outweighs originals for me.
Okay, so do you do any value box digging and things like that? Are you looking at flea markets and in the clearance section of record stores, or just, you know, garage sales?
I mean, that was my thing for years. I mean, I would go to no lengths, you know, to search into a Creative Records. I'd go to tons of estate sales and antique malls and out of state. And but no, I mean, it just that takes a lot of time.
Yeah, that's what I hear. It's that, you know, it's yeah,
you but it was, and you know how this is, like, I can think of, you know, on two hands, I can think of the times where it was worth it, where, man, did you hit a home run and you hit that holy grail, you know, and you said, that's so cool.
I got it for nothing. Yeah, that's the dream. I just did this on my YouTube channel. I'm going to release it. I ended up going to a flea market. I went to Florida for spring break with the family, and we went to an outdoor flea market. It was like a huge, like, swap meet type thing. I mean, Roberto, you could buy a chainsaw, you know, a star fruit, and like a toy, you know what I mean? And a calendar if you wanted to. That's how much stuff this had, right? How much different stuff. Everyone's selling everything. And I'm like, all right, I got to find a guy selling cards or something. I got to find a box. I just want to look through someone's box. And this is the dream story where you find a grail card where this guy doesn't know about it or whatever. So I find a guy, and I did. I was like, I wanted to buy something. So I was really motivated buyer. So I ended up finding a pretty cool Jordan card. It was beat up, but I, you know, for the price, I bought it. It was actually kind of really a unique find that you didn't think you were going to find in this whole place. And then I find another card. It's a numbered refractor. It ended up being like 30, 40 bucks I got for a dollar. But it's not necessarily like a grail. It's not like going to make me rich, but that in itself is like, I can't imagine as a record, like a collector, going to finding a 50-cent record and be like, dude, this is like a $50 record. You know what I mean? Like, just finding
I can beat that. I, you know, probably the best story I have of that is one day being in the store, Second and Charles, you know, out by Lakeside Mall there on Hall Road, and going through the records, going through the new arrivals, and I see a Led Zeppelin record, no big deal, you know, and at that time, Led Zeppelin had just re-released all the vinyls for the first time. They had come out, you know, on vinyl record again. And it was priced just like those. It was priced as if somebody had bought one of those reissues, maybe didn't like it or something, and brought it right back. And they had priced it for maybe a couple dollars cheaper. Maybe it was 20 bucks, mm-hmm. right? And just by, you know, due diligence and doing my homework, I said, you know what? This looks, something about it looks different to me. Let me just open it. Let me just take a look at it. And sure enough, it was a, it wasn't one of those. It was made maybe 10 years earlier from a company called Classic Records, who were known for only pressing the most pristine version of Led Zeppelin record possible. I mean, we're talking $500 when, you know, to buy it when it was new. And I just flipped out. I said, oh my God, they don't know what they have. This is amazing. And so not only that, so now I'm like, oh, cool, I'm going to buy it.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, I start flipping more. There's another Led Zeppelin.
Oh.
And another Led Zeppelin.
What?
And another Led Zeppelin.
Come on. Dude, this is the dream. This is the digging. Yeah, this is why you do the work, right?
Yeah, and there are all those classic record company pressings. And you know, and I sold them years ago. And I hate now that I did that because now I'm rebuying just the regular ones. But here's the thing. I don't own that. I don't own that expense of a sound system that I'm going to hear any, you know, like those Led Zeppelins I found are meant to be for a guy that has a $50,000, you know, vinyl set up. I don't have that. So,
but still the fact that you found it at one point, and you know, you probably, you know, you made some money off of it too. So it wasn't like a complete loss. Not like you just gave it away, but the find, it's like the thrill of it is, it's part of the fun. And That's what I
yeah,
love.
I mean, I definitely not. I mean, the only pleasure I get now, I mean, because I don't, like I said, I don't really go. I mean, I went to a estate sale like a month ago with my son, and I did find a brand. I found a vintage Yamaha tape deck from like the year I was born. It was in mint condition. I mean, I mean, it's just looks like it's brand new out of the box. And you know, for like I said, for back in the day, a guy had to make pretty good money to be able to afford something like that. I never had anything like that in my house. My dad would just buy a cheap stereo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was going to spend $1,000 on a tape deck. That was in the '80s. That was insane. Right.
Yeah.
But the only pleasure I get now is, cause I'm not going to those sales and not buying bargain bin stuff, is that, you know, eBay is really my big thing. And, you know, if I can save $2 on a record that from the record store, I'm happy guy. You know what I mean? As long as I'm getting some kind of deal, I'm willing to do the homework and the searching to, you know, and, you know, the thing is, I'm not like dying anymore to have, so I can wait. You know what I mean? Like another one will come along. I'll get the price that I want. And it's kind of where before I was really hungry to scoop up everything I could.
No, you're right. And that's a good lesson to teach all collectors: patience, man. This is a marathon. It's not a sprint. I used to be like you too, man. I would be like, I got to scoop this up. I got to scoop it up. And I just learned, like, you don't have to, unless it's some kind of insane grail card you don't think you'll ever see again. Cards will come back around. They will. And you'll see them, whether it's on eBay, whether it's on Facebook Marketplace, or you run into it at a show or whatever. Patience is key. It's not the end of the world if you don't get it, you know. Spend and collect within your means and things like that.
I don't know if you've experienced this, but I have in terms of, you know, selling off my collection, where now I'll see those records that I sold at a record show or at a, you know, record store, and man, they go for way higher than I sold them for and way higher than I paid for them. And I get a little,
seller's remorse. Yeah.
Oh, it's just such a kick to the groin, but I had to just, like I said, you know, hey, I had fun with it for a while. I had a good time. Now it's time for somebody else to, you know, share, you know, with somebody else. And hey, I had a lot of cool stuff, but it's time, you know, and that's the whole fun of it. And that's the kind of thing I like, that I'm rebuying stuff and doing it all over again, because hey, you know, if you have everything, what's the point of,
well,
you know,
I always say that's part of collecting. That's part of the game. You know, if you're, you know, going to move stuff, and whether it goes up or down, you know, we're never for sure. So, I mean, just part of collecting, part of, you know, flipping, if that's what you do or whatever. So yeah, it's just part of it. And you move on, you get to keep collecting other stuff. And in music, in vinyls, it is, you're right, someone is enjoying that. Hopefully, you know, somebody else gets to hear it and play. Maybe they got a better setup.
Yeah. And listen, I'm not a total snob. You know, I listen to music on my phone. I listen to Spotify and that's great, but I love physical media. You know what I mean? I love that I can look and see it with my eyes and pull a record out and play it. And I don't know. It's just, there's something. And that's how, you know, even when I was a kid, I feel bad for young people now, is they don't get that experience of, you know, seeing who the producer was on the album, who engineered it, who, you know, who played bass on it or whatever. And, you know, a lot of that is lost now with digital music. You just see the name of the song. That's really all the info.
Well, the thing about records and music is, like, not only do you get to enjoy the purpose of it, which is the sound and music, but there is the artwork. And that's what kind of cards is, just straight up artwork. You know, you're looking at like a piece of art here. With music, you get kind of two. And so, you, like you mentioned earlier, with a record, it's a big piece of artwork compared to like a CD or a cassette. So I think that's another awesome aspect of collecting music, and vinyl specifically.
Yeah, I mean, even in the 90s as a kid, my brother would take me to record shows, and we did, you know, in the 90s, nobody had a turntable. We didn't have a turntable in the house, but going to record shows, if we saw something that was cool on vinyl, we would buy it just because it looked cool. The artwork was, you know, it was a band that we loved, and it was something you don't see every day, and we'd pick it up just to have it, you know.
So you mentioned just like getting expensive or not. First of all, is eBay the main source for, like, other than going to the actual store to buy records online, is eBay the only place, the main place? Are there other places people can buy records? And how's the cost been lately? I mean, I heard it's getting crazy expensive, because I actually heard stores are overpriced. Many stores I heard are overpriced, because people that just aren't knowledgeable or just buying something they think is cool or they want to be cool.
Yeah, I guess the good thing is that the prices are what they are, you know what I mean? And the good thing is that no one store, there is competition in pricing. So, but no store is really like, oh my God, crazy higher than this other store. They're all high right now. Yeah. But they have those titles and those, you know, let's say I'm into like, you know, heavy metal, hard rock music. Those aren't the records you're going to find at Walmart and Target, you know. So they know they can get the money for those. They can raise the price about $10 more for a record like that. But if you're just looking for the, you know, want to start out just with getting the classics, I found many classic albums at Walmart and Target and Amazon and eBay. And yeah, those are pretty much it. I mean, but the local record store is great. And I highly recommend everyone go and, you know, help out their local record store because it's just, you know, it's such a cool experience. And I'm glad that that's back. You know what I mean? That there's a place where, you know, it's just cool stuff. And you know, a lot of the record stores are cool. They don't just carry vinyl records anymore. They have books, video games, action figures are a big thing now, or, you know, I mean, just anything you can imagine are, you know, in these stores. So,
How would you comp like a record? Is it eBay? Like with cards, you do that a lot where you just, you know, check out, all right, what is this sold for? And you go to eBay, and there's other apps that kind of track it through other, cause it's not just eBay for cards. You can buy it to other platforms, and other apps will try to track it through all the platforms where this sold out here, this sold for this, how much there, how do you track vinyl and how do you know if it's what a record's worth?
Yeah. There's a site called discogs.com. And they're like the foremost authority on that stuff, where if you, let's say I look up I look up Rush, the album Moving Pictures, Discogs will tell me every release that's ever been released in every country of that album, and they'll have the serial number and the number that's on the dead wax and the vinyl, and you can really pinpoint it to the one that you are seeing in a store or you're trying to price or sell. And it's also a way to archive your collection. So you can scan, if new records, obviously I'll have them, but if you have stuff from the 80s or 90s, those will have barcodes on it as well. And you can use your phone to scan, just easily scan those in. You put them in your archive in your collection. And every day the Discogs site will tell you what the median price is of your collection, what the high point is and the low point of the value of your collection. So that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
And then there's grade, just like, you know, with cards, there's gradings, you know what I mean?
So yeah, I was just going to ask you about that. Yeah.
There's near mint, then it goes excellent, then it goes to VG, very
good. So is like a sealed record worth more than an open record?
Yes, in the fact that no one has listened to it. No one has had the ability to put a bad needle on it or make it sound bad or put their fingerprints on it, you know. But the problem is you got to be careful. Because no one has ever listened to it, and maybe it's been sealed for 40 years, right? It can be, you could pay hundreds of dollars for that record, get it home, and you're the guy to open it and you want to play it. And guess what? It's warped. Mm-hmm. It's unplayable. It's not, because it's been sitting in a pile for so long, and just because it's sealed doesn't mean it's going to sound great, but it's just, I guess, a cool thing to have.
Yeah. Is like autograph music, like records to CDs or you know, vinyl, is that interest you at all? Is that something you're into?
I was never into that. I mean, because for me, just being able to afford the highest quality of the music is enough for, I've spent enough money on that just to get a good copy that's not autographed can cost you a lot of money. So yeah, once it starts getting into that territory, that's on a whole nother level.
Yeah, because I know it sounds crazy. So I go to a lot of card shows, and the last couple months I've seen this at some people's showcases. Okay. They'll have a bunch of cards, and then they'll have like an autographed Taylor Swift album or something like that. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy, they're trying to capitalize on the Travis Kelce, you know, the sports scene and humongous pop star, obviously, if not one of the biggest, if not the biggest in the world. But sure. Yeah, like CDs, you know, it's not the, so the actual CD, it's the CD cover, you know, but still. I mean,
that's another thing too, where you see like these Taylor Swift vinyl records. I don't know if some of them go for $500, $600, $700, $800. I mean, I don't get it. I don't verse myself enough to know anything about that stuff, but I just see what I see on social media is that for some reason there's some rare ones that you can't, you know, they were just limited pressings, I guess.
What's a grail? What are a few grail records that you would love to, I mean, if money wasn't an issue for you, like.
For me, it's more like I said, the sound quality ones. Yeah. I like the ones, there's a company called Mobile Fidelity Sound Labs that have been out for 40 years, and they've always been known for putting out the highest quality vinyl records, where you're actually, you know, they're getting the master tape. They're and a company like Mobile Fidelity Records, Analog Productions, Friday Music. There's a few of these companies that don't involve, they refuse to involve digital in the process. They will go from that master tape to the lathe that cuts the record. So when you get it at your house, that there's no computerization or any digital ones and zeros in that mix. So that's really cool, but you're going to pay for that. And those get pretty expensive, and you know, the hundreds of dollars, you know, range. But I guess those are the grails for me, that if I can find and get a deal on some of those that are, you know, in the hundreds of dollars, if I could get, you know, those half price or something, that'd be, you know, that'd be a good get.
So is everything you buy a PC for you? And what I mean for by PC is a personally collect, like you plan on keeping that, or is there some of the stuff where you're like, hey, I'm gonna end up selling this at some point? It's just, you know, it's gonna make
I can count on one hand the times where I bought something because I knew I could flip it. I was never into that. I mean, the only time I was ever into that was, you know, just because I knew in my head, I'd be looking through a stack, I'd be like, oh, I know I don't like that music, but I know and you know, the story with that, I had the first two Garth Brooks albums I found that were still in the shrink wrap and were like mint condition. And those hadn't been reissued yet. Now you can buy them at Walmart all day long. But this was before that. And I never listened to them, and I sold them as quick as
because you knew, right? Okay. But most of the stuff you buy, you're trying to keep because you're a true collector. You love the music, you love the records, and you're buying to keep it.
Yeah, and I love those stories of, you know, I mean, it's still happening now. I mean, there's I just put in a pre-order for a Black Sabbath record that's coming out at the end of May. So there's still stuff that hasn't been released on vinyl yet. So there's, you know, and I love those stories of, you know, we finally got to it. We got the record company to give us the rights to do so. Now we're going to go back and remaster and make sure it sounds great. We're going to put it on vinyl. You know, we're going to put a box set together. We're going to put, you know, cool stuff in there, books and, you know, all sorts of goodies in there. So it kind of reminds you of the 70s, because, you know, bands would do that back in the day. Like, you know, Kiss would put out an album, or all these bands, you'd get a poster and you'd get stickers and you'd get, you know, all kinds of cool crap, you know.
So you talk about reissues and stuff. Are you into just new artists and buying their vinyl right out the gate, you know, like... Someone,
no. I know I'm so uncool. That's the most uncool thing to say. I mean, my theory is this, is that there's so much older music of the genres I like that I still haven't heard to this day from, you know, the 60s, 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
Why would I listen? If my son finds something cool, he says, hey, check this out. I mean, you know, we like, Eddie Van Halen's son, Wolfgang Van Halen, his stuff, you know, he's putting out new stuff and it's great. Sounds cool. And my son is in a band called Ghost, you know, and I stay up on things here and there, but there's just so many things that I, you know, haven't heard yet that's old. So I'm just slowly taking my time. Like you said, it's a marathon. So
yeah, definitely. And so see, that's the thing, man. Like you can just, you don't have anything you're like looking for specifically. You're just kind of collecting everything that you know, right? Like that just catches your ear that you've always wanted, basically.
Well, the cool thing about it is that you listen to people. So I watch a lot of YouTube videos of collectors, you know, people showing off their new finds, their unboxings, their grails that they found, or, you know, they found a haul at a garage sale, and those piss me off because I wish I was the guy finding
them. We all want to be that guy.
I know, it makes me so mad, those videos, but,
So nothing like, you know, I mean,
well, I find music through those people too. So I was just talking to my son about this last night, where last night I was listening to the first Tracy Chapman album. Okay. Listen, when I was a teenager, no way. Okay. No way. I would have bought that or had that, or, you know, that wasn't in my collection. Right. And I probably would have been made fun of, you know, by my buddy. So, but what you learn is that it's not so much about the artist sometimes. Sometimes it's the quality of how it was recorded.
Yeah.
You know, who engineered it? How does it sound on your stereo? A lot of these albums I have are because they're for sound quality are just unbelievable the way that they were recorded. So,
well, you appreciate the sausage making more than the actual sausage now.
Yeah. Absolutely. I can tolerate a lot of bad music.
As long as you know the work that was put in, right? And you appreciate the fun. So you mentioned your son a couple of times. Does he get to take over your record collection? I mean, has he taken on, you know, your love of music? And he, you know, he's in a band, obviously. So he obviously likes music, but like the collecting part of it, like the appreciation of the older stuff.
I mean, he likes to listen to it, but everything that I have, yeah, he likes a lot of old school stuff I listen to, but he just has it on his phone and he makes playlists and, you know, and he likes it that way. But I do feel bad that, I'm probably pretty guarded about my equipment.
Oh, have you been touching my drum set? Right. One of those? No, man, I was just watching Cops, dude. What are you so funny?
Exactly. I swear to God, even today when I came downstairs, the door was open to my, you know, man cave room, and I go, hey, wait a minute, why is the door open? I didn't open this.
Come on, man.
My wife gets so mad because she goes, you know, why the upstairs of the house, why can't you treat that like you do this man cave, where there's not a speck of dust in that room, and you clean everything with a Q-tip?
You gotta share that. When's he about be able to earn your trust, huh?
You know, and because, you know, I mean, you just learn so much about it. You know what I mean? You learn how to handle everything. Dude, everything is so important. How you handle a record. Dude, you can't get your fingerprints on it.
I'm giving you a hard time, but your kid is older than my kids. Like, so my girls are so young, but they see me in my card room or whatever. I'll be looking at cards. I'm like, oh, let me do that. I'm like, nope, here, use one of these, and I give her like a, you know, a card that's worth nothing, and you can put it in a sleeve and try to put it in a top loader and mess with those. And I let her look at some Pokemon cards, which I know nothing about. But, and so I let her, you know, you just got to let them handle the crappy records first before you can graduate, right?
Yeah, and I would thought about doing that. Like, if we go to an estate sale or something, I see like a record set up that's, you know, older, that's already ready to go. That's something I would like to maybe give him, like something like that, and then, you know, get in on, you know, he can look in like the dollar bins and he can find all the, you know, still find the same cool music, you know, but I'm just a stickler for everything being pristine, I guess.
So as a true collector, do you wish things weren't so expensive?
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't as cool and your records weren't worth as much, but you would be able to buy things, more things that you wanted.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, it's, but I guess there's, it's demand. Like I said, I had the ability to do that many times over the years. And like I said, in the 90s, I could have bought a million records and you know, I could add $1 million today.
It's crazy, right?
It just wasn't in demand and nobody thought about it. Nobody, you know, you're just sold on the fact that that's passe. That's,
yep.
I mean, imagine that. And in card collecting too, imagine all the stuff that got thrown away.
Oh, you know, my God. You didn't have, yeah. It's crazy.
And even in I've watched some videos on YouTube where recording studio wise, not just vinyl records, but the actual master tape that the album was recorded on somehow got lost in a recording studio. That recording studio went out of business and the tape got thrown away. And there's stories of guys that, you know, when a recording studio's closed, there were guys that would literally like go dumpster diving into these.
Well, what about something like, you know, Harmony House or whatever that was going out of business and just giving stuff away? And people are like, no, that's garbage. I don't want
that. Why would I want that? That's ridiculous. And those ones kick myself and I go, oh, I should have went and just at least checked that out.
You don't
out.
Even have to look it through it. Just grab a crate and just, I'll take it, you know? And
yeah, because you know,
money back.
things like that that were cool that they were giving away back then that I could definitely use. I remember like the old, like the vinyl racks, you know, that are in the record store where, you know, the racks where they put the albums in, those go for a ton of money now. And people kind of are getting to making their own now, but you know, I don't know anything about hammering a nail into wood or anything. I wouldn't know how to build anything.
Oh man. Well, Roberto, I appreciate you joining me, man. We'll have you back on again. Can you tell people the YouTube channel so they can check your YouTube out?
Yeah, it's just my name, Roberto Beauchain, Boschian. Or like I said, just search YouTube for Roberto Vinyl. You'll see my bald head with glasses come up, and yeah, a lot of cool videos already just showing you what I've bought so far this year, vinyl wise, and showing you some of my how I clean records, and I'll be showing a lot of the equipment that I have coming up soon. And I got my jukebox here that I, you know, is like a classic car. It's always breaking down. There's always a problem with it, and I'm always like trying to fix it. So I'll show that soon, and what records are in there. So yeah, definitely subscribe. It's good. It'll be a fun ride.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening. Roberto, thanks for joining me. We mentioned it a couple times on this podcast. If you can collect it, I'll talk about it. But it's a marathon, not a sprint, people. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy it. There's ups and downs to the hobby, whatever hobby you're into. Roberto got out, got back in. I kind of did the same. A lot of people did the same thing with pandemic, too. There's COVID collectors and things like that. But it's all fun. It's all great. It takes you back to a time where, you know, you enjoy a big part of your life right there. And you can get back to it just by, you know, collecting stuff that you used to love.
Oh, yeah. Everything's so instant gratification now. You know what I mean? It's so cool when you get home from work and there's an eBay package there for you to open. That's the best. You know, I mean, how can you beat that? And how, you know, and if you get a good deal, that's even better. So, you know, you spend 20, 25 bucks on some and you get that experience. Hey, you could be doing a lot worse things with your money, believe me.
Yep. So, I love a good deal, and you're right. I mean, that package, like, wouldn't you ever get that feeling as a kid again, where you, the Christmas Day feeling, you know, where you get to open up something? You can get that as an adult if you collect, you know. It just depends on what you're collecting. And like you said, you don't have to spend a fortune to be like, man, this really makes me happy to open up this package and see something you've wanted, you know, come to your door.
I'm sure the mailman hates me, but that's...
They're used to it by now, man. They're used to it by now. All right, guys. Like I said, thanks for listening. Kane Collects Podcast. Catch up on any old episodes. Wherever you hear your podcast, let somebody know. And as always, keep collecting.